Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to The Balance, the only sports talk show that gives a well-balanced diet of sports. Host Tom Marquis and the gang are ready to break down this week in sports. This is the one place where fanatics can come together and talk about their favorite teams. The Balance brings you an analytical breakdown of sports from a fan's point of view. So sit back and get ready. It's time for The Balance.
It's about damn time.
It's Thursday night and time for the Hot Corner.
There are 108 beads in a Catholic rosary and there are 108 stitches in a baseball.
Your home for all things MLB.
Suck one out of the park for me.
The Reds, the Cubs, the Cardinals, the Dodgers, and the White Sox.
I love baseball.
The Balance has you covered with a Hot Corner.
Watch where you're walking, guys. I don't want you to step in the crap I just knocked out of that ball, huh?
News, rumors, and fantasy, it's all in the Hot Corner.
Baseball, it's the best.
And here is your host, Tom Marquis.
Hello, 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 hello.
Jumping out, pass on back, ready to get into the hot corner started right now. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Mark Timmons of U.S. Water Systems, a family-owned Indiana company that sells water treatment equipment around the world. But we especially know Indiana water because our world headquarters are right here in Indy. You have bad water in your home or business? Whether you're on city or well water, uswatersystems.com makes it easy to solve your water problems. We offer videos, all sorts of water conditioning equipment, and tech support 365 days a year by certified water specialists. U.S. Water has reverse osmosis systems, water softeners, and salt-free water conditioners from $179. Visit us at uswatersystems.com.
My daddy left us. I was only 6 months older than you are now.
I don't remember him. You will remember me.
Jackie Robinson, a black man in white baseball.
I want you to know I'm there for you.
In my heart.
Think about the abuse that he's going to take.
Your enemy will be out in force, but you cannot meet him on his own low ground.
What you gonna do if one of these pitchers throws through your head?
I'll duck.
Mark my words and circle this day. Negroes are gonna run the white man straight out of baseball.
This ain't the America I know. You hear me?
They knew you. They would be ashamed.
If Robinson can help us win, then he is going to play on this ball club.
You don't belong here, and you never will.
Get off the field.
Brooklyn Dodgers ain't changing our way of living.
Wearing me down.
You are not the only one with something at stake here.
You want a player who doesn't have the guts to fight back?
No, I want a player who's got the guts not to fight back.
You give me a uniform. You give me a number on my back. I'll give you the guts.
I father, I Brooklyn Dodger them. I jack, I rob, I send. Oh man, I'm Jackie Robinson. Except when I run base, I dodge the pen.
I'm just a ball player.
You a hero.
Why don't you look in the mirror? This is a white man's game.
I'm not going anywhere. I'm right here.
I'm a Brooklyn boy. I may take some getting used to.
Maybe tomorrow we'll all wear 42.
The pitch. There's a high drive, deep right, cut away back. Might be out of here. It's off the wall. One run is in. Two runs are in. A third man scores. And look at this score.
I'm Jennifer Weigel with the Chicago Tribune. Chicago Cubs chairman Tom Ricketts threatening to move the Cubs out of Wrigley if he doesn't get the necessary upgrades. Let's see what the people think. Tom Ricketts is threatening to move the Cubs out of Wrigley Field for the first time if he doesn't get these upgrades for these. What do you think of that?
I think that'd be a bad move.
Yeah.
I think they should stay.
I think you should.
You should move them.
Yes.
And you're wearing a Cubs shirt. This is incredible. Why?
Because they need a new park. They need to do something with the park. And if they can't do it there, I don't see why they shouldn't move somewhere close. Build a replica of the park somewhere else.
They wouldn't dare. They might if Tom Ricketts doesn't get the okay from city council to put up these gigantic billboards in the outfield. It's probably going to well, who knows, but he's threatening now.
Happen.
You don't think so?
No.
Okay, Jack Brickhouse, Hall of Fame broadcaster. Can you believe we're actually having this conversation? Yeah, see, even he's speechless. So Tom Ricketts is threatening to possibly move the Cubs out of Wrigley Field if he can't get these necessary upgrades. What do you think?
I think that's... Don't do it. Because I just feel like it's such a great place there, so why move it?
You don't think a 6,000-square-foot billboard is too much?
Mm-mm.
You know, if he can't get what he wants, I mean, it's his business. I mean, he gets to move it wherever he wants to.
Got to do what he's got to do.
Yes, right, exactly.
Should the Cubs leave Wrigley? Okay, there you have it.
All right, welcome back to the Hot Corner. My name's Tom Marquis, El Presidente. Well, should Tom Ricketts and the Cubs move out of Wrigleyville? What a, you know, as a Cardinal fan, obviously I got this love-hate relationship with the Cubs, but what a tragedy it would be to every Cub fan around in the history and nostalgic of Wrigley Field to move it to Wrigleyville. What are your thoughts? 917-889-8516. You can certainly tweet us at 2HotCorner. Or send us an email here. Send me directly an email, tom@thebalanceonline.com. Well, joining us now is Mr. $2 Bill Josh and Mr. Ed Kratz of Calkins Media. Ed, how you doing, sir?
Hey, I'm great, Tom. Thanks for having me.
Fantastic. And Josh, are you with us?
I'm here. How are you? Ed, Tom, how are you guys tonight?
Hi, Josh.
Fantastic. I also want to thank our friends up at the Chicago Tribune for giving us that little montage of Wrigley Field moving. So let's start with you, Ed. And here's the thing. Whether or not you're a Cubs fan or not, I mean, you know, like, even if you're not a Red Sox fan and you look at Fenway or you look at, you know, some of the other nostalgic fields out there, Wrigley Field is certainly the top of the list. I had a great opportunity, a once-in-a-life opportunity to go to the first night game at Wrigley Field. So I can tell you one thing, that it's a special place in baseball. Ed, what are your thoughts? Tom Ricketts, has he gone too far by saying, hey, you do it my way, or I'm just going to take the club and we can play somewhere else?
Well, you know, I think that Tom Ricketts wants action. And, you know, he's kind of been a nice guy throughout this whole process. And, you know, I think that by stepping up to the plate, so to speak, you know, he wants action. And, you know, I think he's pretty serious. He wants that scoreboard out there. He wants the ability to generate money, obviously. And, you know, all the parks have it these days, this gigantic Jumbotron screen out there. And, you know, I guess they estimate that it can bring $20 million in. But I think Tom Ricketts was just kind of – it sounds to me like it's just kind of an empty threat. But I think he wants to get the ball rolling here on, you know, getting some of these renovations done. And, you know, being the nice guy so far hasn't worked, so he's trying a different tact here, I think. As far as moving them, I would be absolutely shocked if they did move him. He would be, you know, one of the biggest pariahs in all of sports if they were to move the Cubs out of Wrigley Field on the north side there, right off Waveland Avenue. But you know what? You know, as shocked as I would be, on the other hand, you look at what the Yankees did. You know, they knocked down Yankee Stadium, you know, an old building like Yankee Stadium. You know, they destroyed that, and they built a new one right on the same site, a little different dimensions, and you know, so there were some differences to it. But, you know, if you could knock down Yankee Stadium, you know, you could probably knock down Wrigley Field and start from scratch, too, if you really wanted to go that route. But I don't think he's going to move them. I just think he wants to get the ball rolling on this process. And, you know, he has been a nice guy. And I think now, you know, it's where the rubber hits the road now. And he wants to get things done. He wants to get this process moving. And I think he's very serious about winning that scoreboard. And, you know, I think when all is said and done, he's going to get it. Hello?
Well, I think we've lost Tom.
Okay, I'm back. I apologize. I did my typical thing, try to be nice to turn off the mic, you know, and I don't always turn it back on. I agree with you 100% there, Ed, and here's the thing. This is Chicago. It's the land of Capone. Instead of having a goat's head at Wrigley Field, he might wake up one day with a horse's head in his bed. Josh, what are your thoughts? Tom Ricketts moving Wrigley Field, a tragedy, or should it be happening?
It should be happening. I'm sorry. I'm a huge Red Sox fan. Fenway Park's the oldest ballpark. It's in much better shape than Wrigley Field. I'm not sure how it hasn't been condemned as an unsafe place to watch a ball game. Got pipes hanging down everywhere. Got ivy gone everywhere, which is where it's hideous. Sorry, Cubs fans. You think it's special. I think it's flat out hideous. You got seats that are torn down. Here's the bottom line, and I'm anxious to get your thoughts, Ed, and also yours, Tom. I'm Emmanuel. Is in favor of Ricketts getting the scoreboard. Does anybody remember who Rahm Emanuel is good friends with? Oh, that'd be the President of the United States. And you better believe that if Obama wants something done in the city of Chicago, even though he's the president, it's going to get done. So, Ed, do you think he could eventually call up the favorite Rahm Emanuel and be like, could you get me a little help from the big guy?
Bring in the president, huh? Bring in the big guy in. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I guess, look, anything's possible. You know, Obama, that's a great point. I mean, you know, Obama would not let the Cubs move, and they're going to give, you know, give Ricketts, I think, ultimately what he wants. But, you know, Josh, you're right. That building is old. There was a ball player that really complained about it last year. I can't remember who it was, about how it should be condemned and wasn't safe. And but that said, you know, I'm a traditionalist as much as the next guy. And, you know, you'd really hate to see – the Cubs move out of Wrigleyville, and I wouldn't like to see that at all. I mean, if anything, if worse comes to worse, just knock it down and build something new, and you know, make sure that it caters to every you know, everybody that has an interest. You know, you got that rooftop seating out there that you know, I think they contribute like $4 million to the coffers of the Cubs. I think they have to contribute about 17% of whatever they make by selling those seats out there on the rooftops on Waveland Avenue to peek inside Wrigley to watch a game. So, you know, everybody has to kind of come away feeling like they got a pretty good deal in this. And, you know, it's going to take some time. But, I think it can be done. And if it requires bringing in President Obama, then by all means, bring in President Obama. But let's keep the Cubs in Wrigley.
Well, I can tell you, and by the way, we're talking to Ed Kratz of Calkins Media out in Philadelphia. We're going to get into the Philadelphia Phillies conversation here in just a moment. We're also talking to $2 Bill Josh. We're talking about Tom Ricketts' latest move of saying, hey, you know, maybe I'll move Wrigley Field out of Wrigleyville. I don't know sure exactly where he's moved it, going to move it. Maybe he doesn't even know yet. Maybe there isn't a place. But I think that there's just too many. I take the opposite end of the spectrum. I think that for the nostalgic purposes. Now, I also believe that there's a way to get some compromise, like you say, Ed, for everybody to get what they want. The thing about it is perhaps maybe those rooftop seats, that revenue generated would go away, and they're even talking about suing. But at the end of the day, as we heard in the soundbite there, he's a businessman. He could do what he wants. And, you know, some our social media on Too Hot Corner, by the way, on Twitter, feel free to chime in. But here's some I never use you know, I know a lot of shows use Twitter handles. But I don't. I will just kind of give an initial CT. Burn Wrigley down, pack up the Mayflower trucks, and do a midnight run to Indy. there you go. From Cal on Twitter. Also, we'll go with HW on Twitter. Again, I'm giving initials and not Twitter handles. I think that sometimes opens up a huge can of worms when you let out your Twitter handle. But it says I agree with there are many idiots that need to pick that need to read the details of this deal before talking. The Ricketts are already offering to pay the whole tab. They're asking the city to make adjustments around the park, which would cost the city money, also asking for Wrigley to become a landmark status so they could – and he cuts off. He went over 140 characters. Brad says, Tom Ricketts, it's about time a serious businessman takes control of this tourist attraction and masquerading as a major league franchise. We're just going to go with a different name. I almost let it out there. Chicago politics have created Wrigley Field and Soldier Stadium. They are the two worst facilities in the major league sports, while Indy is on its second dome with the Colts to support it. Everybody loves Indy in Chicago. And we're based here in Indy. We flagship here out of Indy, but I'm certainly not provoking this. And one more. If this moron wants a giant TV screen, let the rich bastard pay for it. He's the guy that gets all the profits, so if he wants it, go for it. Sayonara, baby. So maybe some people are saying, I don't know if these guys are Cub fans or not, but, you know, when I open up the window to Twitter there, they're letting us know that, hey, from what I could gather just from there, people were okay with moving it. And, you know, it's a nostalgic place, and I just think that there's a way to make it work for everybody. And, you know, as these talks drag out, it just really begins to put a big distraction. And who knows, guys, maybe moving Wrigley Field to a different location with no ivy and a giant screen board, maybe the curse will be broken. You never know. Maybe they'll win a World Series, guys.
Well, you know what? Here's why it won't happen. Why I don't think they're moving. It's because my understanding is the Ricketts family has been buying up property on the north side of Chicago around Wrigley Field with plans of building a 175-room hotel. So, you know, if you're going to move the Cubs out, you're not going to build your hotel. But my understanding is they've been strategically buying up property around the north side of town to build this hotel. So I don't think they're moving. I think Tom Ricketts, though, it's also my understanding that after he bought the team in 2009, that he's still in a mountain of debt. He still owes, I think, $600 million of debt in buying the Cubs. So, you know, this guy needs money. And, you know, he's going to want to try to sell advertising wherever he can sell it. Maybe he'll even put it on the Cubs uniforms if, you know, Bud Zilli will allow. But, you know, he's going to want money somehow, and he's going to want to keep him there. And, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if he ramps up the rhetoric a little bit more as the days go on or the weeks go on here.
Well, I totally agree with you on that. Josh, do you have any more thoughts on that? We need to move on to the Phillies here. We went on this a little bit longer than anticipated.
No, I'm about to have to hop off of here. I just don't think the Cubs will end up moving. I think Ricketts is just talking a lot. Don't forget to tune into the Bounce on Saturday morning, and Tom, I'll join you next Thursday night.
Sounds good. Mr. $2 Bill, Josh, I know he's out in Alabama visiting friends and family. Always good he can jump on with us. All right, you guys, we have some lines open, 917-889-8516. If you want to jump in on the conversation. We also want to welcome all of our listeners on our encore presentation on Indiana Talks. It's we're not live. We run at 9 to 10 Eastern time on Indiana Talks. So if you're on that affiliate station, you are listening to us a little bit delayed, so you're not going to be able to call in, but you can certainly chime in on your social media, whether that be Facebook or Twitter or what have you. You can find us on Twitter at Too Hot Corner. Well, joining us also is Mr. Ed Kratz of Calkins Media, beat writer for the Philadelphia Eagles, and also a sports writer there for the greater Philadelphia area market. And certainly, and we talk about the Phillies, and we look at the Phillies, and, you know, the Phillies kind of on and off. The offense is starting to rear its ugly head again, and, you know, they just had, what, a two-game sweep with the Indians, and now you guys got Miami Marlins at Citizens Bank Park.
Yeah.
I think you should be able to rectify yourself now.
Well, you know, look, it was a two-game sweep in Cleveland, but it felt like a five-game sweep the way the Phillies played because, you know, they didn't show up at all, really. They got beat 14-2 in the opener of that two-game series, and then they came back last night and lost 6-0. You know, and this is coming off the heels of sweeping the Mets in Citi Field. over the weekend. And, you know, optimism was running high. You know, this town, Philadelphia, runs hot and cold with emotions. It's like a roller coaster around here, the way that, you know, you win three games and suddenly everything's well and good. Now they've lost two in horrible fashion, and suddenly it's going to be a long summer without baseball. And I'm as guilty of it as anybody, really. It's kind of how I feel. Is, you know, to me, this team is playing just like a 500 team. You know, they, you know, will they win 81 games? You know, will they get to 83 wins or 78 wins? I mean, right around there seems like, you know, what this club is capable of, but nothing more. Just because of the inconsistency, particularly on the offense. You know, the outfield that they've put together, that seems to be taking a lot of heat right now. But, you know, that once Jason Worth left town for to go sign the big contract with the Nationals, the Phillies never really went out and tried to replace anyone in the outfield. And yet, I guess it was after last season or two seasons ago where there were some free agents out there that are performing quite well, like Carlos Beltran is playing well, or David De Jesus with the Cubs. You know, they could have gone out and maybe tried to sign one of those guys to fill that void. But, you know, they're really piecing it together. They have Ben Revere out in center field, who is no more than a ground ball hitter, and sometimes those ground balls get through, and a lot of times they find the gloves of the second base, shortstop, or third baseman. You know, and then you have Dominic Brown, a very highly touted prospect from years ago, who's really never met that ceiling that everybody predicted for him. You know, he's another outfielder. And, you know, now they're going to put Delmon Young in the outfield. He hasn't played there in a couple of years. He makes his debut in the outfield tonight against the Marlins. You know, he played designated hitter in Cleveland the last two nights. But, you know, to me, it's just a team that's very dysfunctional offensively. And, yeah, they'll hit their hot streaks, and Ryan Howard might hit a few home runs. But Ryan Howard's no longer capable, in my opinion, of hitting, you know, 35 homers or 40 homers in a season. So, you know, to me, they have to find a way to manufacture runs, and that's not what this lineup is able to do on a consistent basis. And to me, that's what you have with the Phillies. They're probably a 500 team, maybe a few games better, maybe a few games worse. But, you know, it's going to be that way all year.
Well, we're talking with Ed Gratz, Calkins Media, beat writer for the Philadelphia Eagles, obviously a sports writer there in the Philadelphia market. And then we're talking about the Phillies and the Marlins here on the Hot Corner. I tell you what, you guys should be able to breathe a little bit earlier, a little bit better. I like Kyle Kendrick. He's red hot. And, I mean, let's face it, you guys you're facing the worst offense in baseball right now. And I tell you what, if he can continue his outstanding stretch of games, tonight's opener of a four-game series against the Marlins should give you guys a little momentum, you know, and certainly take a little pressure off Holiday and Cliff Lee.
Yeah, well, yeah, you hope so. Yeah, you know, around here people are kind of familiar with what Kyle Kendrick is, and, you know, he kind of has gone hot and cold over his entire career, but you're right, he is on a little bit of a winning streak, and, you know, it would certainly help for him to go out and, you know, pitch well and you know, get the first win in this four-game series. But, you know, when the Phillies went down to Miami a couple weeks ago, the Miami pitching staff really shut them down. You know, Ricky Nolasco and Jose Fernandez, who, you know, everybody seems to think he's the next phenom. He's had a little control problems lately. I think he's scheduled to pitch Saturday night here in Philadelphia. But, you know, Kendrick can go out tonight and, you know, kind of make a statement, you know, against Alex Sanabia, who's pitching for the Marlins. And, you know, it's a beautiful night. It's going to be a beautiful night at the ballpark. And, you know, we'll see. It tailors to the home run, and that's what the Phillies need right now. It's home run. That's what they've always relied on is the long ball. And when they don't get it, they struggle.
Right, absolutely. And here's the thing. I mean, you guys are just keep slipping a little bit back. You're 5.5 back from Atlanta, and obviously Washington, even with their struggle, are at 3.5 back. So you certainly would believe that, especially with the schedule coming up with Atlanta and Washington, you guys could take advantage of the Phillies and the Marlins. We got to move on to some other teams here, but any other final thoughts on the Phillies and on this Phillies-Marlins series getting ready to start tonight out there in Philadelphia?
Well, I just think, you know, the Phillies need to come home and hit. After what they showed in Cleveland, if they don't hit early and they don't hit often, they're going to be greeted with a lot of boos at Citizens Bank Park tonight. So, you know, they're going to have to come out and, you know, really get their hitting streak on, so to speak, early and try to make a statement.
Well, in Philadelphia, you got to wonder if it's booze or bottle of booze.
Well, I think that the bottle of booze leads to the booze in some cases.
It very well could be. I'm not as familiar, if you will, with the Citizens Bank Park there in Philadelphia, but I do know for a fact that when the Eagles play, that is hostile environment for any visiting team. Is it the same way over on baseball?
Well, I don't think so. I think baseball is a bit of a different animal in terms of, you know, you have 81 home games in baseball. You only have 8 of them in football, so you know emotions are a little more stoked. Football, you play once a week. So you have all that buildup that leads up to that game on Sunday, 7 days in between. With the baseball season, it's every night. You know, you're playing ball every night. It's 162 games. You have 81 home games. So, yeah, I think the crowd's a little bit – well, I know it is. The crowd's less hostile. You can wear a Miami Marlins jersey. I don't know why you'd want to, but you could wear one to the game, and you'd be perfectly fine. You would live to walk out after the ninth inning, and you'd be fine. And that goes with any team, really. And I know sometimes when they play the Mets, you know, the New York Mets and the Philadelphia, we're very close geographically, only separated by about 2 hours of highway. So, you know, that gets a little heated. I know a lot of Mets fans come down to Citizens Bank Park, and a lot of Phillies fans go north to Citi Field when the teams play. And, you know, then things get a little ugly. But it's mostly just, you know, kind of a verbal, and a lot of the times it's just fun, good-natured stuff that goes on at a baseball game. So not completely unlike an Eagles game, let me tell you. Completely.
Absolutely. We're talking with Ed Kratz of Calkins Media, sports writer there in the greater Philadelphia market. And I tell you what, and we were talking about the Nationals and the Braves. You could only hope if you guys have a sweep, you're only 3.5 games back. You're in a 4-game series coming up with the Marlins. You could only hope that if you guys can do a sweep and Atlanta can do a sweep, that doesn't look good for the Nationals. So I would think in this series that the Phillies fans are definitely rooting for not only the Phillies but for the Braves, for both of you guys to have sweeps in your series.
Yeah, I think right now it's just people are looking at just the Phillies, you know, fans. It's you know, May 2nd. I don't think anybody's really paying attention. You know, there might be some people that are, but I don't think people are really starting to say, okay, hey, well, how many games behind the Braves are we at this point, or the Nationals, whoever it may be. I think it's just they want to see the team start playing well, consistently, start winning some series, and then maybe you take a look at the standings and say, okay, where are we? And then you kind of figure it out from there. But that's kind of where I think most fans would be. It's just let's just see the team, you know, show some form of consistency to give you some hope that, hey, maybe we can compete once the calendar flips over to June. I don't know. I mean, that's just the way I see it. And the Phillies, if I had to bet on them sweeping the Marlins in 4 games, I think I'd take my money and bet it on the longest shot in the Kentucky Derby on Saturday, to be honest with you. I just don't see it happening.
Now, who is your horse in the Kentucky Derby?
I like Verrazano. I like Verrazano a lot, but he's the second favorite. I always like to try to pick out a long shot somewhere, and you know maybe strike it rich with a long shot coming home. But I haven't really analyzed it that closely yet. But I know Verrazano. I like the horse. My brother-in-law actually does some work for the owner of that horse, and he's the one that kind of clued me into Verrazano, you know, many weeks ago. And I thought, okay, well, you know, maybe I'll bet Verrazano. But please, anybody listening out there, don't go running out and putting any money on what I'm saying about the Derby.
Well, we'll certainly get into the Derby in much more detail on Saturday's show. But, you know, it is fun. But I just want to know how you're going to strike it rich, because anytime I want to do a bet with you, so much as a dollar, you're like, no, I'm out. I fold. I'm done. So
I'm not a gambling man. I mean, I will admit to a bit of a weakness when it comes to the ponies. You know, I always joke with a friend that I can't wait till we retire. We're just going to be the old guy sitting at the you know, the OTBs, the off-track betting, just sitting there and, you know, betting random races, you know, across the country. You know, but just $2 fun bet, you know, maybe two to win or, you know, that kind of thing. Nothing crazy.
Absolutely. Well, I'm going to go with Charming Kitten in honor of my niece who loves Hello Kitty. And I just think that, you know, anytime I see a name of Charming Kitten, and I either think of a stripper or I think of Hello Kitty. I sure hope that I don't stand here and sit here in the studios 20 years from now and know that my niece is a stripper. We would never want that to happen.
My
brother's going to come after me now with ball bats. So see how it all ties back together with baseball there.
That's right. It all comes down to baseball. It all comes down to the baseball, right?
Absolutely. Well, moving along to some other teams there. Obviously, we talked a little bit about the Cubs and non-baseball related. But the Cubs just finished a series with the Padres. And in today's game, the Padres over the Cubs 4-2. Any thoughts on the Cubs in the Padres series out there in Chicago at Wrigley Field? They rally late in Chicago, and the first 14 Padres sit down in order, but they batted around the eighth, putting up four runs to split a four-game series set at Wrigley Field. And Travis Wood was the tremendous early starter there with the Cubs and locked in a pitcher's duel with Eric Stoltz. So thoughts on the Cubs and the Padres?
Well, the two of the worst teams in baseball, I guess. It's probably fitting that they split the four-game series. But, the Cubs to me are, how can anybody not like the Cubs? I mean, just because of their history, really. I mean, they really haven't had much success. So, to me, I always, I want the Cubs to do well. It's curious to me that they seem to have some talent and some young pieces in place, but, there's still something missing. Maybe it's just not enough of that type of talent. Like I love the Rizzo kid that plays first base, Anthony Rizzo. I think he's a tremendous talent. His batting average is a little down so far after a month, but he's a power guy. I love Starlin Castro, the shortstop. He can hit the ball, and I guess they just don't have enough of those type of pieces in place yet. Of course, the pitching is still suspect. Now, Travis Wood, you mentioned that, I think they got him from the Reds. And, he's got the capability to be maybe a number three type of starter. Scott Feldman, I think, pitched a gem last night to win that game. And, maybe he's a guy that, can kind of come along and maybe slot in at number two. And, I guess they just need to go out and, get some more youth coming up from the farm system. And, Theo Epstein's in charge there now after, being with the Red Sox for years. And, he certainly knows what he's doing. And I just think that the Cubs, and maybe in a couple of years, they could put it together here and challenge for a pennant. The Padres, on the other hand, I don't know what's going on. they have a very big ballpark. So when they go on the road, they're trying to sign Chase Headley, the third baseman, to a big contract. Chase Headley says now today he doesn't want to do any negotiating during the season. But, when you play in such a big ballpark, it's just hard to build a team when you play in such a big park and you go on the road and you don't know whether to build a singles, doubles type, a gap power type team or, to build kind of a power team and try to swing for the fences. Because Petco Park is just a big stadium. It's very difficult when you play in a home park and, you really are kind of uncertain what sort of offense you want to build.
Well, we're talking with Ed Kratz of Caucus Media out in Philadelphia, talking about the Phillies and a lot of things going on in the National League East. We're going to break down the National League Central. Obviously, we talked a little bit about the Cubs, but the two that are battling for first place, the Cardinals, my Cardinals, and the Pittsburgh Pirates, who I love as well through my affiliation with the Indianapolis Indians. When I say my affiliation here in Indianapolis, and we cover them quite frequently, I'm not actually affiliated with the Indianapolis Indians. I just put that politically correct police comment out there for you guys. We'll be right back. My digits, 917-889-8516. Ed, can you hang around and talk some more National League Baseball with us?
Absolutely.
All right. We'll be right back right here on the Hot Corner. Over the course of history, there have been many great revolutions. The French Revolution, the American Revolution, the Cuban Revolution, and now in 2012, there's a brand new revolution for the fan. The Fan Revolution, IndyProSports.com. That's IndyProSports.com. IndyProSports is for the serious Indiana fan who roots for the Colts, the Pacers, the Indians, and so much more. Make sure you check out IndyProSports.com. Be a part of the revolution on Twitter, Pro Indy, and on Facebook, Indy Pro Sports.
Hi, I'm Mark Timmons of U.S. Water Systems, a family-owned Indiana company that sells water treatment equipment around the world. But we especially know Indiana water because our world headquarters are right here in Indy. You have bad water in your home or business? Whether you're on city or well water, uswatersystems.com makes it easy to solve your water problems. We offer videos, all sorts of water conditioning equipment, and tech support 365 days a year by certified water specialists. U.S. Water has reverse osmosis systems, water softeners, and salt-free water conditioners from $179. Visit us at uswatersystems.com.
And you're listening to The Hot Corner with your host, El Presidente, Tom Marquis.
A treat for you, a sneak preview of the new three-act Broadway musical being written and directed by Yankee slugger Alex Rodriguez.
If it's baseball.
If it's baseball.
Tom Marquis is talking about it on The Balance.
All right, welcome back to the Hot Corner. It's Thursday night, guys. We're rounding the bases tonight. We're talking about the National League. A lot's going on in the National League. Certainly, if you want to chime in, 917-889-8516. We've been talking with Ed Kratz from out of Calkins Media, the out there in the greater Philadelphia market area. We were talking about the Cubs moving earlier. Also talking about the Phillies. We're going to move on to the National League Central. My love, my pride, my passion, the Cardinals. And, well, and when you look at the standings right now, of course, right now you look at St. Louis coming up on top. Half game behind, though, there is Pittsburgh. And as always, Cincinnati and Milwaukee's always right there. We just finished up a tight series with the Reds, and we talked a little bit about the Cubs. Joining us now is Mr. Ed Kratz of Calkins Media. Ed, how you doing, sir?
I'm doing great, doing great. It's almost first pitch out here in Philadelphia. Phillies and Marlins, and across the NL Central, too. What a fun division the NL Central is. Absolutely fun to watch.
Well, absolutely. We just finished up. When I say we, I always say we, and I know maybe I shouldn't, but I make no bias about it. I'm a diehard Cardinal fan. I think anybody knows this. I'm not going to hide it. I don't think that's something, but when I say we, I mean I refer to the Cardinals. So, but I love baseball all the way around. Ironically enough, the unique reason of why I'm a Cardinal fan is because of the Cincinnati Reds. When I was a kid, I had an opportunity to go went back when they were at Riverfront Stadium. Back in the days, I'm showing my age. I'm dating myself here. Back when Johnny Bench and Pete Rose, Johnny Bench was a catcher for the Cincinnati Reds, and that was the pre-gambling years for Pete Rose.
He may have been gambling all along.
Yeah, true, very true. And when I was just a kid then and had an opportunity to go and see them, and that was back in the days, again, dating myself, when you could actually get on the field during batting practice with a special ticket. It was roped off, and then after batting practice, you had an opportunity to get autographs. They still allow some of that to a certain degree, but not like they used to. Now, if you want your autograph, you got to hang over the ledge there and hope that they walk by you and you get your baseball card signed, which I did. But, you know, in every ball game I go to, I still see that there's 40, 50-year-old men who are still living at home with mommy and daddy getting baseball signatures on their baseball cards. But that's a whole nother rant for another day. But I went to get my ball signed. When I say ball, I mean baseball. You know, we just have so many people with dirty minds out there, Ed. So, you know, I gotta clarify. When I didn't go get my ball signed at 10 years old, but when I
Thanks for clarifying.
I wanted to clear that up there.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, I got you. I'm with you now.
But I couldn't get anybody from the Reds to say, you know, and here's the thing, ironically enough, speaking about Pete Rose, maybe that should have been assigned to everybody. He just kind of brushed me off. And did a W.C. Fields, get away from me, kids, you're bothering me, type move. Yeah. And I tell you what, it was a no-name guy, but grabbed my ball, went over to the dugout. Everybody signed my ball. I still got it. In fact, it's right here in the Balance Studio sitting right next to me. So I'm a diehard Cardinal fan for that reason. And that's why you take your kids to the ballpark. They grow up in the ballpark, and they have special memories like that. But ironically enough, the reason I'm a Cardinal fan is because of the Cincinnati Reds. I don't have a hate for the Cincinnati Reds, but they've just been getting better. I mean, heck, Scott Rolen left the Cardinals to go to the Reds and made a terrific impact there at the Reds. So we look at the Cardinals and we look at the National League Central. Getting back on point here, I digress there, Ed. You got to keep me roped in, buddy. But,
I'm enjoying the stories. I love it. I think it's a great story. Yeah, you got the ball signed by everybody in the dugout, and you still have it. That's tremendous.
I do, absolutely. Well, let's talk a little bit about the St. Louis Cardinals, only a half a game ahead of the Pittsburgh Pirates. And I hate to say this, Pirate fans, and I know you guys are loyal, and we're loyal to you through the Indianapolis Indians as well. But it seems like you always – I mean, the Indianapolis Indians just this week got the has the best record in minor league baseball. Indianapolis Indians, were champions last year in the International League West. The Indianapolis Indians, obviously the Triple-A team with the Pittsburgh Pirates. So the Pittsburgh Pirates are doing a great job with their farm team system. But when it gets up into – when we get really past the All-Star break, the Pirates start doing that proverbial choke. And they just start slipping away. Right now, the Cardinals do have a half a game lead in the National League Central. There, obviously, we always dread playing the Phillies, Ed. So the Cardinals first place in the National League Central, but only by a half a game by the Pirates. So when you look at the National League Central, although it is still early in the season, what are some of the things you see, and what are some of the key things that come out to you on that?
Well, you mentioned the Pirates, how they seem to kind of wilt after the All-Star break. And, you know, maybe, Tom, that's part of the maturation process of, you know, a young ball club that they had assembled. You know, now that these guys, the Neil Walkers and the Andrew McCutcheons, you know, they're all a little bit older now. And, you know, I love this Starling Marte, who's looking like a rookie of the year type of a prospect for the Pirates. They've gotten Gabby Sanchez now, who's a veteran. You know, his bat isn't what it was when, you know, he was in Florida, but he's a veteran. He's been around the block. They acquired Jonathan. Well, actually, they released Jonathan Sanchez, but, you know, they had Russell Martin. You know, they signed him, and, you know, catcher is such a vital position on a baseball field, I think, in terms of being able to handle a pitching staff. And, you know, that to me is where the question marks are with the Pirates is pitching staff. Can the pitching staff with A.J. Burnett hold up? You know, Burnett was in New York with the Yankees, and he sort of flamed out, and, you know, there was some talk that maybe some of the reason was he just couldn't handle being in New York and the pressure that comes along with being in New York and playing for the Yankees. So, you know, Burnett's playing well on a team that, you know, is overlooked and there's no expectations. Now, how is he going to pitch, you know, once the pressure cooker arrives again in, you know, August and September? Is he going to be able to, you know, to continue to pitch well and to pitch to his pedigree? But, yeah, it's still, you know, behind that, there's still plenty of question marks. You know, that Loke has pitched well, or Locke, however you say his name. You know, he came in here to Philadelphia and shut the Phillies down, which, you know, isn't proving very difficult to do these days with the bats. But he pitched a great game, and he went out his next batting and pitched another good game. So, you know, but that to me is the Pirates. The question is with their pitching and how that pitching is going to hold up over the course of 162 games. Now, the Cardinals, on the other hand, I love their pitching. You know, that to me is really their hallmark, right? Is, you know, you have Lance Lynn, who's been tremendous. You know, Adam Wainwright is now 2 years removed from the Tommy John surgery that he had. You know, he's looking like he's back to the same form that he had before he got, before he had the arm trouble. I believe Jake Westbrook is the ERA, the National League ERA leader at last check. So, you know, their pitching to me is their hallmark. And then, you know, I love the interchangeability of that team. You know, you can plug Matt Carpenter in or Matt Adams. You know, I know he's been injured You know, and then you have your thumpers like Beltran and who's the other one? Matt Holliday.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, you know, to me, you know, the Cardinals are built for the long haul. I'm not sure, you know, again, the Pirates pitching to me is an issue. Now, maybe they go out and acquire somebody as the season rolls along. You know, maybe they'll bring somebody in, a veteran type of pitcher. You know, they kind of have that in Wandy Rodriguez a little bit, but, you know, he's kind of up and down too. So I don't think you have as many issues with the Cardinals as you do the as you do the Pirates. Now, you know, the Reds and the Brewers are going to be factors too, I think. Don't count them out. But, and the thing with the Cardinals is David Freese hasn't even started to hit yet, right?
No, absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely so not.
Once he starts hitting, then, you know, then to me, the Cardinals are, you know, they're just built the right way. And, you know, from just, like I said, I love how their players, they're interchangeable parts. You know, you can rotate guys in and out, and they really don't miss much. But then you have your stalwarts like Beltran and Holliday. When they're healthy, they're as good as anybody.
Right, absolutely. We're talking with Ed Kratz of Calkins Media, breaking down the National League. Certainly, guys, if you have any questions, you give us a call, 917-889-8516. And we also want to thank all of our listeners over on Indiana Talks. I was listening to our encore presentation. So whether or not, wherever you're at inside this great land we call the United States, and listen to us on your phones, your locations or radio station affiliates, we appreciate you joining us and talking some baseball with us. We do this every Thursday. And, of course, every Saturday morning from 9 to 11, we do the balance. We're gearing up for the Indianapolis 500, and so we're going to have a lot of talk about that coming up as well. So when we look at the National League Central right now, and then we're going to get on over to the West here while we still got a little bit of time here. But when we look at the National League Central, and you look at St. Louis, Pittsburgh, and Milwaukee, and you look at where Cincinnati's at now, and they're two games back from St. Louis. Obviously, Chicago's not really in the mix at 5.5 games back. But you look at the Reds, and I know you, a lot of people say, well, I'm not really looking at that right now. Maybe it's just us media guys. We look at that because that's a stat that's provided to us. But you look at two games back in the separation between the Cardinals and the Reds, it's a very, very tight race. And as we get closer to the All-Star break and we get on the other side of that All-Star break, when things really, not that they don't count now, but they really, you got to tighten your belt and play your baseball, play your A game, if you will, if you're wanting to be even looked at playing in October. And so who out of those teams, you look at St. Louis, Pittsburgh, Milwaukee, and Cincinnati, who's going to be in the fight for the champion, the National League Central Championship, to win that pennant there?
Well, I think you'll like my answer, Tom. I think it's the Cardinals.
I like the answer. You're right. You know how to woo the host there, sir.
I don't do it, you know, just for the big paycheck. I do it because I really believe it. I just think they're the best team, you know, the most well-rounded team, and the pitching to me. Now, listen, they have issues. Every team has issues with, you know, their closing situation. You know, right now, Edward Mujica, you know, he's doing the job right now, and, you know, maybe Jason Mott will come back and be that guy. But, you know, the closing situation is certainly, you know, a question mark. The bullpen, you know, is a year-to-year proposition, trying to build one. But, you know, that to me are two issues. But I just think starting pitching-wise and lineup-wise, the St. Louis Cardinals are the best and the most well-rounded team. Now, you know, I do like Cincinnati. Now, they have a closer. They have Aroldis Chapman, a terrific closer. I just don't know if they have all the pitching components that St. Louis does. Right now, the Reds' trouble seem to be playing on the road. I think they're 3-10 on the road, which is, you know, abysmal, really. I mean, they're 12-4 at home, but 3-10, you know, away from the Great American Ballpark. So, you know, if they can find a way to kind of get closer to 500 on the road, they're going to be a factor in that race. The Brewers, I love the Brewers lineup, but again, pitching is a question mark. Even though St. Louis has the closing issue, I just think they're the best and most well-rounded team. So Tom, congratulations. It looks like the NL Central will be won by the St. Louis Cardinals.
Well, I sure to God hope so, because I tell you what, I was one of those guys last year, and you'll never forget it. Maybe I just because this year hasn't came around, but we were playing in the rain, and the umps were like, I'm not calling this game. This is the last game for the World Series. These guys are going to the World Series. They were playing in a lake. It was raining. It was pouring. Wasn't able to happen against the Giants. Of course, we know what happened there with the Giants and the Tigers. I'm hoping for the best. But I tell you what, I would be, you know, I would still be maybe not as ecstatic and high school girl giggly that I would be over the Cardinals getting to the World Series, but I would be pretty happy to see the Pirates go to the World Series. And anytime you can see anybody from, well, except for the Cubs, that is, go to the World Series. Actually, in all reality, this is not a reality, but if we're just talking about what ifs, if the Cubs ever got into the World Series, that would be a tremendous thing. Well, we're about out of time here, guys, but I do want to talk a little bit about the National League West. And I appreciate you sticking with us for the whole hour. I know we talked about maybe not doing that, but I, like I said, there's so much to talk about. We could talk about the National League all day long, and we listen to the Hot Corner here on Thursday. Now, I don't know how much you stay up late like I do and watch these late games.
Well, I think I'm a little older than you, Tom. I don't stay up quite as late.
Well, I stay up late and watch these late baseball games, and I it's a good thing I went to bed the other day after that Mariners A's game. Before that game ended, that it went to 2:00 Pacific time. That was 5:00 in the morning my time. Just to put that in perspective, it's one of the longest baseball games in history. But I don't know. We talk to Mark Timmons a lot from LA Dodger Talk, and we cover a lot of Dodgers here. Obviously, you look at the West out there, the National League West, and you look at the standings there, and you look at kind of a dead heat between the Giants and Colorado. Arizona's just a game half back, and the Dodgers are 2.5 games back. But did you see this game with the Dodgers just this week?
Was it that 19-inning game, or was that the Oakland game that you're talking about?
That one too, but I was talking about the Oakland game that lasted forever. But did you happen to see this guy show up at Dodger Stadium?
Open Gangnam Style.
Oh yeah.
Tommy
Lasorda was not happy. They actually, I don't know that they stopped the game if it was during the seventh inning stretch. I'm not really sure. But here's what they did is they played this on the big screen, as we were talking about earlier. And he come out dancing there and on in between the stands there, you know, where like Tommy sets and the VIP sets, your people from Hollywood. They had that area rubbed off. Well, he was dancing his little gang hive dance right in the face of Tommy Lasorda. It is something to watch when you go to YouTube and check it out. Go to the MLB channel. Well, I just was curious. Did you happen to see
it? I did not, but I'm guessing Tommy was pretty disgusted.
He was not happy. He was not happy at all.
I would imagine not.
Well, that's going to have to do it. We're going to have to end it on a light note here. Mr. Ed Kratz of Calkins Media, we appreciate you joining us today. Where can people find your work and your masterpieces, sir?
Well, you can find me on Twitter. It's at Kratz, KRACZE. That's my Twitter. And then Philly, www.phillyburbs.com. is our website. And typically I write about the Eagles. In fact, that's pretty much all I write about is the Eagles. So if you're looking for any NFL stuff or Eagle stuff, that's where you can find me at phillyburbs.com. And I tweet about anything and everything, so you can always hit me up on Twitter, at KratzD.
All right. Ed Kratz, thank you so much for joining us. We'll catch you again very soon, I'm sure.
Thank you, Tom. Always a pleasure. Have a good week.
All right. You too. Ed Kratz of Calkins Media. Guys, that's going to do it for us on the Hot Corner. I got to go. Remember, don't drink and drive. It isn't cool. We'll see you next Saturday, this coming up Saturday at 9 a.m. right here on the Balance Radio Network. Cool on summer air. Open Gangnam.
Gangnam Style.
Gangnam Style.
Oppa Gangnam Style.
Gangnam Style.
Oppa Gangnam Style.
Join us next week for The Balance. In the meantime, check us out on Twitter, T-Balance, or Facebook, The Balance, or online at www.thebalanceonline.com.